Can we go ahead and get all the lights on? So if I was you, I'd want to get a blanket and curl up. And I have an illustration this morning. I may just do that. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, one of my favorite promises in Scripture, and I think one of the most descriptive exchanges that we get, that the reason, one of the reasons why Christ came. And so Isaiah 61, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. It tells us that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. Can you say amen? And to proclaim that the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed. He sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown for a beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his glory. Now, I don't know if there's some of you maybe in there. I bet you there are some bargain shoppers. Any bargain shoppers in the house? Any couponers? That's like a big thing again for some reason. That's kind of any crazy couponer. I'm terrible about, you know, they throw that coupon ad out or whatever on our front lawn. And like I'm just terrible about picking them up. I get knocks on my door all the time. I'm sure some people take them without asking, but there's this one lady. She'll come knock on my door and say, "Hey, can I have your coupons?" I mean, I don't even know this lady. She's like, "Can I have your coupons?" I mean, we like good deals, even if they're not really good deals. You know, we may not need something three for a dollar, but we'll still spend $15 to get a whole bunch of it. Right? When I was thinking about this, I was kind of thinking about one thing that we rarely do is Black Friday, right? Any Black Friday shoppers? That is pandemonium chaos. I mean, it's like riot control. I mean, you need to wear riot gear in Walmart if you're going to go Black Friday shopping. I just don't understand that. I'm like, you know what? I'd rather pay the $100 and nobody mess with me, right? Let me stand in line. I'll spend an extra $100 and I'll be okay. But we normally like a good deal. We like to know that we're coming out with a good deal. I want to tell you, there is no, when I hang out with my dad and we're on any kind of trip, my dad's like, he loves like flea markets and swap meets and auctions and all that kind of stuff. And always looking, he may not even need whatever he's looking at to buy, but he'll buy an auction because he got a good deal, right? And it's like, "Dad, what are you ever going to do with that?" "Oh, I got an idea." Okay. But there is no comparison to the exchange that what God gives us. I mean, if I could even put it very simply this morning before we even dig in and dive into this. I mean, whenever you want something like that, even if you think if it comes Christmas time and, you know, they may have that 65-inch smart TV on some kind of special for $500. You know, that's what I need for Christmas. That's what I need for my man cave, honey. Yeah. And so, but to want that TV or whatever it may be for that $500, you've got to want that item more than you want what it's going to take to buy it. Right? You gotta want that TV more than you want your $500. Or if you're looking at that car and whatever it may be, that item you're going to purchase, you got to want it more than whatever monetary green you have in your wallet or bank account. And now think about this, the exchange that Christ made for us. We've been talking about it week in and week out. I mean, think about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that you, if you would only believe, that you would not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you see the exchange that God made for you? He was willing to give his one and only son to purchase your redemption, to purchase your forgiveness, to purchase your healing, to make you whole. He was willing to give his son. He was willing to give him. You know, but one of the neatest things I like in Scripture is when in Luke chapter 4, it's going to be on the screen as well. You see, Jesus comes on the scene, right? And and he reads in Mark 4:16 really what I just read in Isaiah. Now this, what was written in Isaiah, I want you to get your mind around this. What was written in Isaiah was more than 700 years before Jesus quotes Isaiah 61 in Luke chapter 4. And in Luke 4:16, it tells us when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up and read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. Now, I want to give you some perspective, some historical perspective about what's that happened here. You see, Jesus didn't just randomly go to the synagogue, and Jesus didn't randomly just read these few verses on Isaiah. You see, in the Jewish culture, what was to happen is after a male turned 30 years old, they were going to be assigned, they read through the Old Testament, and you as a male over 30 would read a specific portion. You knew you were going to be assigned a portion of Scripture, right? And so you just didn't go read anything you want. I mean, there was verses, guys that went before you, and they had specific verses until it got to you, and then you read your specific verse. And it's usually two or three verses. And so think about the odds, right? But it's more than just thinking about the odds, isn't it? Is God not omnipotent? Is he not omniscient, all-knowing? Is not everything by design? Absolutely. And so here Jesus is assigned the scripture that he was to fulfill himself. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim the captives will be released. The blind will see, the oppressed will be set free. And at the time of the Lord's favor has come, he rolled up the scroll, he handed it back to an attendant, and he sat down. Now that's another significant thing when he sat down, because there was a chair that was in the synagogue that was reserved for the Messiah. They knew one day the Messiah would appear. And nobody ever sat in that chair because they weren't the Messiah. Are you following me? So think about this. Is Jesus reads the scroll. He sits down in the chair that was reserved for the Messiah that nobody else had ever sat in. And he says this. The scriptures you just heard have been fulfilled this very day. What a proclamation. I mean, you see the significance of what is happening here. I mean, this is just as powerful as the announcement that John makes in John 1:29. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I mean, here is Jesus. Jesus saying, I am here. The King is here. And now the release of the prisoners is going to happen. And the captives are going to be set free. And that promise is going to be fulfilled. I, as I process this, here's what's being said. Today, the scripture you've heard has been fulfilled this very day. We just read Isaiah 61. And we're going to go through it very quickly. But when I read this and I look at this, here's what I believe. When I see that Jesus says today it's fulfilled in your hearing, is this is the day that God is going to act. That this is the day that God is going to act. You see, we're not like it was for the Hebrew children when they were in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. And they were calling out for redemption. They were calling out for deliverance from the land of Egypt. We don't have to wait 400 years. It's being fulfilled. It is fulfilled. And today is the day that God is going to act. So if you need to be released, today's the day that God's going to act. If you need to be set free, today's the day that God is going to act. If you need beauty for ashes, today's the day that God is going to act. If you need the spirit of praise for mourning, today is the day that God is going to act. And it's not the only place we know that. We see it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. At just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. And this is what it says. Indeed, the right time is now. Come on, church. The right time is now. Look at your neighbor and say, now. It's now. The right time is now. Today is a day of salvation. And catch hold of this. Remember, I mean, yes, salvation. I think the most important thing that we receive from salvation, right, is our us being saved, us being reconciled with the Father. But you fully understand that whenever we see that word salvation, it's just not talking about your soul. It's talking about all of you. It's talking about your mind and your spirit and your physical man, that he makes you whole. Today is the day that God is going to act and make you whole. Come on, what an announcement. Today is the day that God is going to act and make you whole. Today is the day that God is going to act and make you whole. There's two wrong ways to believe. There's two things that we should not believe. But it seems like we really believe about ourselves, right? And the first one is this, is that we're not good enough. That we're not good enough. It's too late for us. We've made too many mistakes. We've done too much wrong. I mean, how many times has somebody told me, if you only knew what I've done, if you only knew what I did, if you only knew that mistake, that regret, that shameful thing that I did, if you only knew, if you only know what's happened to me, if you only know what I've said, if you only knew how I was abused, if you only knew how I was hurt, if you only knew what I was addicted to. We tend to believe this lie from the devil that we are not good enough. But I'm going to tell you, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. Today is a day that God is going to act and make you whole. Today is a day that God is going to act and make you whole. It doesn't matter the mistake. It doesn't matter the falling short. It doesn't matter what somebody else tells you. It doesn't matter any of that, because he came to make you whole. Matter of fact, that first line of Psalm 138:8, that first sentence, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. Can I just give you the New Testament? It's in the New Testament kind of version of that. It's Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And I am certain that God, who began a work within you, will continue that work until it's finally finished. What God started in you, he's going to finish. I know you've gone through stuff where it feels like you've been derailed. I know that your belief and your faith is sometimes a struggle and has been challenged. But what God began in you, he's going to finish. What he started in you, it doesn't matter what the enemy has said or done, God's going to finish it. Why? Because he's acting on your behalf. He's acting on your behalf. Every time I get excited and start preaching, I'm like, you know, I come in here every week, and I think, oh, I'm going to be just conversational, because that's like the end thing. I just can't do it. I try. Will you forgive me? Is that okay? Can I get excited? I say that because how many times I've, you know, people that really have never been in church or unchurched, and they walk out with the question, why was he yelling at me? You know? I'm like, no, I'm just excited. This is who I am. I do it at the TV, and I'm going to yell at you. Okay, so here's the second thing, a wrong way to believe, is that I can do it myself. You don't got this. Right? Isn't that kind of infamous saying, oh, I got this. You don't got this. We have this mentality sometimes, I can do all things myself. I just need to make up my mind. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I have control of my life. I'm going to tell you something. When we read the promise in Philippians 14, we see that we can do all things, but it's through somebody. And that somebody is Jesus Christ. We can do all things when it's through him. We can face every struggle through him. We can go through every difficulty through him. We can go through every trial and tribulation with him. Are you following me this morning? You're not going to do it by yourself or your way. It's got to be His way. And it's got to be through Him. For I can do all things through Christ, because it's Him that gives me strength. Why would you rather live life exhausted, beat up, tired, sick, poor, than just doing life with Jesus? I mean, you see the exchange, what God's giving us. You don't have to live that way. And so we get to Isaiah 61:3. In Isaiah 61:3, it tells us this: He will give a crown of beauty for ashes. So that first thing I want to talk about is beauty for ashes. If you're filling the blank, that's one of your blanks. Beauty for ashes. And I really think there's maybe even some in this room, but at least some point in time of our life when we look at our life. I mean, that's really what it feels like and seems like, right? When we look at our past, is that it just mounts up to ashes. Whether it's sin, whether it's mistakes, whether it's pain, whether it's hurt. I mean, if you were to add up the sum of your life, maybe that's your image of just rubble and junk. But He says He'll give us beauty for ashes. And so as I think about this, I always think it's just so much better to illustrate it, right? That we can really get it in our mind's eye. I mean, think about this. This is what now in all the trades of good trades, this really don't seem like a good trade. Oh, our poor janitor. I mean, all that pain, all that hurt, all that junk, that's what it amounts to. And that's really what we have to get. You know, the Bible says that our righteousness is what? It's filthy rags. And that's really what we have to give. We really can't give more than that. It doesn't matter what's in your bank account. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter who you are. When it's all of ourselves, this is what it adds up to, is nothing but ashes. I mean, who in their right mind would give something beautiful for ashes? I'm going to pray somebody was going to think it's Ash Wednesday. But think about it. I mean, that scripture says He gives beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. And when I think about beauty for ashes, I mean, for me, my mind always goes to is Song of Solomon 2:1. Anybody know what Song of Solomon 2:1 says? For He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. I mean, that's meant to illustrate beauty in the midst of desolation. I mean, more accurately, it's more of a crocus flower, more of a field flower. But a lot of translations say beauty, a garland of beauty, even some translations say. But I mean, just think about that. If you take inventory of your life, it may be nothing but pain and hurt and rejection of what seems like adds up to nothing but ashes. But the Lord, you know, He sees you and He knows your heart and He knows your pain and He sees you right where you are and He says, you know what? I'll take those ashes. Wouldn't you rather have me? All that rejection and pain in your life, and He says, you know what, if you just come to me, I'll give you myself. There's nothing more beautiful than the Lord Jesus. He can heal every pain, every heart, all the rejection, all the depression, every single bit of it. He can heal it all. He can, even for men too. He can do it for you. Whatever it is, God can heal it. Whatever it is, God can heal it. He can take care of it. Aren't y'all glad y'all sit on the center row? Even big, burly men, God can do it. What, that's the exchange that he makes for you, is that of beauty. Now, anyone in their right mind, who wouldn't want that exchange? Why do you want to carry that junk or that weight when God says, I'll give you Jesus. I'll give you beauty for those ashes. Man, that's a no-brainer to me. And then he goes on to say, in the second part of Isaiah 61:3, he says, a joyous blessing instead of mourning. Some translations say the oil of gladness instead of mourning. But here's the promise, is that that God is going to give you joy instead of mourning. And I believe with all of my heart that this is going to speak to somebody directly here this morning. Is that, are you not tired of crying yourself to sleep? Is it not old? You've cried out for relief, for an answer, a healing. And I'm here to tell you that God can give you joy instead of that mourning and that sadness. Whether it's you sum it up by rejection or whatever it is. But here's what I know, is that Jesus endured our rejection that we might have his acceptance. You may feel rejected by friends and family or even society. But I'm going to tell you, God paid a heavy price for you to know what it means to be accepted. He will not reject you. Doesn't matter the pain, the junk, the stuff. Any of that doesn't matter. He will accept you just the way that you are. I mean, rejection, I believe, is such an attack of the enemy. And just one of those tools in his arsenal. Because the enemy knows if we can carry that fear of rejection. And maybe we have a right. Maybe we've been through so much in our life that it's just been that. It's just been rejection after rejection after rejection, whether it be a spouse or whatever the scenario is. And I want you to know this morning that God promises that he'll give you joy instead of the mourning. I mean, he promises the sorrow may last for the night, but what comes with the dawn, the morning, is joy. Your night may have been long and dark, but God's coming with the joy. Do you know why? Because today is the day that God is going to act on your behalf. Today is the day. Today is the day. When I read, for time I'm not going to get all into it. I have it listed there in your notes, but Joel 2:25 and the latter part of Joel really talks about a restoration that happens. But I really like the NIV at the end of it. Well, the NLT, matter of fact, the end of verse 27 says this, never again will my people be disgraced. But I really like the way the NIV says it. Never again will my people be shamed. Do you know why that is? You see, he suffered all of our shame upon the cross. I mean, we paint a pretty picture, right? I mean, when we do dramas and cantatas and things for Easter and all that kind of stuff, right? We're not going to give you the real, because the reality of it all is that he was stripped naked. He hung naked and nude before men and was barely recognizable. He took all shame upon himself so that you would not know disgrace or shame. Never again will my people be shamed. Why? Because he paid the price at the cross. He paid the price at the cross. If that is not enough, in verse 28 of Joel chapter 2, this is where we get to the Pentecostal promise, right? But I think there's significance, we miss it sometimes, because when you read Joel 1 and 2, really what you're reading about is, it's about these locusts, right, that come in, and it's the flying locusts and the crawling locusts and the gnawing locusts. And then God gives his promise that he's going to restore everything that the locust has eaten. So it's like you're walking through this place of desperation and desolation because of, it's like one thing after another just coming into your life. One thing after another coming in. And it's just bringing your life to desolation. And God says, I'm going to restore everything that you've lost. I'm going to restore everything, the canker. I'm going to restore everything that the locusts have eaten. And I think it's just wonderful because the Lord, he never leaves it at just enough, but he always does more. And he promises, and after I give you that restoration, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, Joel 2:28. Because we know because of the Holy Spirit, his work is that of joy and peace. And then we get to the latter part of Isaiah 61. It says, NLT says, festive praise. Festive praise instead of despair. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to that place of despair? You guys know, I talk about it often. I have. I've been to that place of despair. At 35 years of age, when I thought my life was over, at 35 years old, when I thought my next breath could be my last, I know what despair is. I know that feeling of it feels like this death, that grim weeper knocking on your door. I know. I know what it is to battle. When I was lost in the world, I know what it is to battle with thoughts of suicide because I saw no hope or no way out. I know that despair. But see, God made an exchange in my life where I don't have to carry that despair anymore. You see, he's given me life and life abundantly. And he'll do the same for you. I mean, don't you know? I mean, this old world, man, it's just tough sometimes. And that's our next thing, is praise instead of despair. Praise instead of despair. I wish I had a big old military backpack. I think that'd even illustrate even better. But so many of us, that's the way we walk through life, man. I mean, of just regret. This regret and shame. Mistakes. Despair. Right? It just adds up and adds up and adds up. And I mean, here we go through life. Man, I pray for people often. And it's obvious those that are carrying that weight. And usually the Lord instructs me to say, so I usually say the same thing. And it's not, I don't think it lessens its power, but you know, it's amazing when you make that declaration to somebody. It's like finally somebody sees it. God sees me and there's a healing that happens. But I see people respond to altar times and altar calls. You can see that weight that they're carrying, and almost even physically you can see them bowed over carrying that weight. And it's like the Lord wants you to know, you don't have to carry that weight anymore. You don't have to carry a weight that doesn't belong to you.
because Christ died upon the cross and made an exchange where you don't have to carry that weight anymore, but you can take upon his yoke and his weight because it's easy and it's light.
You know, I love winter. I think the older I get, the less I do, but I love winter. And it's not just because of that first Saturday in November. That's a big part of it. Some of you will just have to Google it, what that means. But there, my favorite de-stress thing in the world, I got to be honest, is if it's summer, I'll do that. Like if Angela's busy and I'm in the house by myself, I'll do this. I'll turn the AC like down to 60 just so I can get my blanket. And I'll lay on the couch and I'll put my blanket on. This one's Angela's, but it's the first one I could grab. That my quilt that my mama made me. And I'll put that movie on. Oh, and mama knows I like my quilts big. And so I can like lay half of it on the couch and then flip the other half over. That's why I love winter, man, on a Saturday, and I put on the A&M game, Gig'em, by the way. Poor Florida. And lay there on that couch. I mean, it's just comforting, right? Then if Angela will make homemade chicken and dumplings, and I can lay on the couch and cover up in my blanket. I mean, that's just like, that's like heaven. I mean, there's going to be a spot for that in heaven. You can get in your quilt and curl up. But you know, it doesn't take brain science, right, that this is lighter than that. I mean, this is lighter than a lot of the weight that we carry. You know, and the Bible tells us that he'll cover us. That he'll cover us. It's Psalm 91. Cover us with his pinions, his long feathers, and under his wings we find refuge. Psalm 91:4. And I'm going to tell you, that weight that some of you are carrying, that stress, that life is adding up and adding up, you don't have to carry anymore, because he wants to give you the garment of praise. Now let me tell you about garments, right? Now I don't know how you sleep. I don't need details. But thankfully, I would dare say, however you sleep, you know, this really needs to be a society lesson, by the way, that you don't come out of the house, what you sleep in. Otherwise, we take your picture and you get on People of Walmart. But when we put on the garment of praise, I'm going to tell you, it's got to be a daily choice. It's a daily choice to put on your work clothes, put on your slacks and your shirt, or whatever it is that you wear when you go to work, you start your day. That's a choice you make every single day. And I'm going to tell you, when you wake up in the morning, you can choose to put on the praise or get lost in the despair. I'm trying to help you right now. I mean, when those eyes pop open, I mean, it can be the first words out of your mouth. Yes, this is a day the Lord has made. Lord, I glorify you, I worship you, I exalt you. Or you can pop those eyes open and say, oh, dear God, it's Monday. Right? I mean, if that's the way you're starting your day off, no wonder you hate Mondays. I think it was last Monday, we get in the truck and Shaylee's like, I just hate Mondays, you know. Having to go back to school, I was like, well, maybe Mondays hate you. You got to put on that garment of praise. You don't have to walk in that desperation anymore. You know, when I was thinking about this in closing, I'll just tell you this. I'm just reminded of a few words from John chapter 11. In John chapter 11 is where we see Mary and Martha. They send for Jesus because Lazarus is sick. And Jesus waits 4 days later, right? And then comes back and Lazarus is dead. And Martha's response is this. We find it in John chapter 11, or it's Mary's response. We find it in 11:32. And she says, Lord, I'm going to point out these three words. Lord, if only. Lord, if you'd only been there. Lord, if you'd only answered. I mean, see, the thing is when we get in that place of depression and desperation and despair, that's exactly what we say, isn't it? Lord, if only. Lord, if only you had done this. If only you had done that. Lord, if only you loved me. Lord, if only you cared about. Lord, if you only saw me. If you only knew what I was going through. However it is that we frame that question. Lord, if only. But I'm going to tell you, I'm making an announcement to you. And I believe and I hope and I pray it's as powerful as when John announced Jesus, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when Jesus said of himself, today this promise has been fulfilled in your hearing. And I want you to hear me now, not just with your ears, but with your hearts and your spirits. And listen to me. Today is the day that God is going to act on your behalf. Today is the day the kingdom comes near you. Today is the day. Don't let the enemy block your ears from hearing that. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is the day the Lord's going to act for you. Today is the day of your miracle. Today is the day of the first day of your new life. Today is the day when everything changes. Today is the day when the mourning ends. Today is the day when the depression ends. Today is the day when the anxiety ends. Today is the day when the sickness stops. I'm not preaching in a left-field church. I'm just announcing to you what Scripture declares to us. See, the Bible tells that Jesus taught something very specific in Matthew 16. Right? It's that Scripture where He asked the disciples, who do people say that I am? You better stand. I'm going to preach a whole other sermon. And they give an answer. And I'm going to fast forward. But Jesus says something. He says, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he goes on to say something really interesting, right? He says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And he's given us the keys of the kingdom. And I firmly believe that we can't just walk around loosing and binding and, you know, I mean, you hear people pray like that sometimes, right? I'm not saying that it's all wrong, but you hear people say, just loose this, Lord, or I bind it in the name of Jesus. You know, you hear that terminology. And I'm a firm believer that we just can't go loosing and binding anything that we want. I believe that's an announcement to be made of the price that Christ made for the exchange. Does that land? Do you follow me? He's already paid the price for the exchange. We get to announce freedom because Christ paid for it. We get to announce forgiveness because Christ already paid for it. We get to announce redemption and reconciliation, but Christ already paid for it. We get to announce healing because Christ already paid for it. See, it's already settled in heaven. We get to bind the enemy because upon the cross, Jesus stripped the devil of all of his weapons. That's why we have that power and that authority. We're just getting to declare and announce what's already been done. And so listen to me. I'm just announcing to you what Christ has already paid to happen in your life. That you can be free. You don't have to be a prisoner anymore. You don't have to be in chains anymore. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. Why? Because Christ paid the price. I want you to close your eyes with me this morning.